What I was going to preach, I'm not going to preach. I might preach it tonight. I don't know. But what I was going to preach would take a lot more time than what you won't have patience to sit and endure this morning. So you pray that God will use us. The Lord will bless us. I'm going to preach about a confession that I have to make to you as a people. Something that I've never done. And you pray God helps us with it. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. While you're turning, all of you that are visiting, it is wonderful to have you with us. And we have some folks up at Columbus down with us today. It is a privilege to have you in the service to worship with us. And Roger and Mary's back home. And Rita's back with us. And Roger and Loretta's family's in. Several others. It's good to have you today. Thank you for coming to worship the Lord together with us. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. When you found it, say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You know, I'm approached quite frequently by people at the altar, and they will make this statement to me. In particular, preachers. They'll say, Brother Evans, would you please pray that a double portion of the Spirit that's on you would come upon me? Now, that's admirable. And I hope you don't misunderstand the confession that I'm about to make. I have never prayed that for anyone. Hope you don't lose confidence in me, but let me explain to you why. I've told them what I feel like they wanted to hear, and I prayed for them. I prayed earnestly for them. And it's not that I don't want God to use them because I'm just a man. And the anointing of God will fall on any man and any woman that wants to be used by God. But our society has the wrong image about the Holy Spirit as He moves in the life of believers. The image that we have so many people now that have come from addictive backgrounds that they think the only thing about the Holy Spirit they understand when He comes into them is they think that He's there for them to get high on. You follow what I'm saying? 30 minutes, an hour. In fact, a lot of people, once they get high in the Spirit, you don't see them for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. One dose will do them for a long time. But that's not what the anointing's all about. You just traded one addiction for another addiction when that happens. The Holy Spirit was not given merely to make us feel good, even though I feel good through the Spirit. That's not why it was given. So I pray the prayer they want to hear. And if you'll notice, really Elijah almost seemed somewhat reluctant. Not that he didn't want someone to follow him and do more works than what he did. But what Elisha asked is what a lot of people ask for. They ask for the blessing that they see associated with. People go into a service and they see the preacher get blessed, the singers get blessed, the choir get blessed, they see a teacher get blessed, and they see the Holy Spirit move through them, and they think, boy, that's what I want. They want that high. They want that feeling of joy. But let me tell you why I have never prayed that. I pray that God bless them. I pray the Lord uses them. I pray that God will take them to greater heights than I could even imagine. Because I know it's from the Lord that my blessings have come. I know that. I know that. But I know the price that has to be paid to get the anointing. I wouldn't wish on anybody to go through the things that I've had to go through for God to use me. That's why. I couldn't pray that in all conscience. A fella stopped me a few days ago. He said, "I really mean this, preacher. I really want you to pray to that end." And I said, "Before I pray, can I talk to you for a minute? If you want that kind of power, there's some things you have to understand that's associated with it." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You see me in the pulpit. You see me preach. You see the blessings that God gives." But honey, it hadn't always been that way. I said, "So to get that, you're going to have to take what I'm about to tell you and multiply it by two to get the anointing." So if I prayed that, here's the prayer I would have to pray. "Lord, I pray for my brother that you take every dime out of his bank account. Leave him stone broke. Take every dream that he has ever had in all of his life and tell him, you can't do that. I pray that you send him to places to preach where people hate him. I pray you'll send him to places that when you begin to anoint and he begins to preach under the power of the Holy Ghost, people will take out Kleenexes and stuff in their ears. I pray that everywhere he goes, there'll be somebody waiting after church to whoop him. I said, you want the anointing. This is the price you pay for it. I pray you'll go to places that people will absolutely hate you for preaching. I remember I went one time down south and I was holding a meeting and we had a kickoff service and I was scheduled for 11 weeks straight down south. They had a group that got up and sang for, I don't know, an hour and a half or 2 hours. I got up to preach, and when I got up to preach, they all went outside to smoke. And I went outside and got all of them and said, "I had to listen to that awful singing for an hour and a half. You get inside and listen to me preach." I didn't know that the pastors of the next 11 weeks were out there smoking too. And they got mad and they made a pact. In 11 weeks, Candy and I never had a bed to sleep in. We slept in our car. 11 weeks, we changed our clothes in rest areas. One man finally said, "Well, we've got twins and they've got twin beds and maybe we can shove them together and you all can sleep across the bed with our boys." I said, "No thanks. I pray that you'll go into hospital rooms in the middle of the night to have to help nurses clean up blood and hold the hands of dying people to see them as they see the other side and get the vision of God and the holy city of God to help you preach to warn others to come on." I pray you want some of this. I pray that you'll have to meet with the IRS in an audit in the morning to go and meet with your accountant in the afternoon to go and sit by a bedside of someone leaving this world later that evening to hold their hand to see them take their flight to glory as one of your best prayer warriors takes their flight into the throne room of God to come back to preach a revival meeting somewhere to get home that night to wait on somebody that is called to sit down in a pastor's study to look you in the eye and say, "I don't think you have enough time for me. I think I'll go somewhere else to church." I pray. Oh, I'm feeling God this morning. I pray that God will strip you of every bit of pride that you've got. I pray that you'll get to the place where you have two children born with no health insurance to cover it. And you finally go to find help. And someone says the only help is down at the welfare line and sign up for a medical card. I pray that God will tear your vision apart to the place that you'll go into places where they'll say you're of the devil because you wear a certain color tie or you wear a colored shirt. I pray that folks will send you hate mail letter day after day after day
preach. I pray that you have to set my families through the most difficult times of their life and know the sin in their life and have to stand and preach with the power of God on you come Sunday morning. I pray that you'll find people that'll sit and fold their arms and shake their head knowing you as though they hate everything that's in you as you preach the Word of God. Hey, do you want another portion?
I pray you have to stand for 5 months straight with a fever of 101 to 102 and preach every time. I pray God leads you to 120 some funerals in 1 year to stand beside of families that have lost the dearest possession they have in this life and to stand there and try to find in your empty cell some kind of words to help them and to console them. I pray that God will bring you to a place where that finally you realize without the power of God you can do absolutely nothing. I pray you have to preach 500 times in 1 year, make 20 and 30 hospital visits a day. I pray that you go 18 to 20 hours a day seeking the face of God, praying every chance you get. Oh, God, come on and give me the power because I don't have the strength to do it anymore. I pray that you get somewhere where a real old-fashioned revival breaks out and for 6 hours you stand and pray for 700 people until finally you're so weak that somebody has to hold you up and carry you out to the car. Do you want some of it? Glory, glory, glory. Oh, no. I just want to shout. I just want to feel good when I get there. I don't want to go through all of that. I pray you miss almost all your kids' birthdays. I don't know. Candy could probably tell you. I may be at home, without exaggeration, 3 or 4 times for my kids' birthday. I wish that most of your wedding anniversaries, you weren't in the Poconos and Myrtle Beach. You was 100 miles away preaching somewhere and your wife at home. I wish you'd have to stand and watch your wife with the babies on her hip crying, saying, do you have to go? Yeah, I have to go. I wish you'd have to go in your closet, get out a pair of shoes, cut cardboard to go in the bottom of your shoes because you got holes in the bottom of your shoes. And then I wish you'd have to pray all the way to church, Lord Jesus, don't let it rain because my feet will get soaking wet. I wish your family gets sick and you don't have enough money to take them to the doctor. Come on, you want some of it? You want some of it? Do you know what is wrong with our generation? We want to feel good. We want to look good. We want to have beautiful buildings. We want the power of God to be there. But the Lord knows the heart of a lot of you. If one person don't even shake your hand, you won't come back for 6 weeks. And you're telling me you want a double portion of God's Spirit? I pray they tell lies on you and lies on your family. I pray that the people closest to you forsake you and betray you and turn their back on you. I pray. Do you want a double portion? I pray that you have to set over a stack of bills where you know that thousands of dollars need to be met within 1 or 2 days. And you have to pray in thousands of dollars in 1 or 2 days because if you don't, you know there's going to be children that will starve to death. You know there's going to be missionaries that will starve to death. You know there's native pastors that's going to have to close their church doors. I pray that you go to bed. Finally, when you get to go to bed and you lay your head down, you cannot go to sleep, but you're awake tossing and turning because you see people trapped in sin and you see the devil luring them aside and there's nothing you can do to stop them. You stand and preach, but yet they go right on in their way. I'm saying, folks, there's a price to pay for the anointing. You preacher, it's not like that now. Not right now, but it might be like that again tomorrow. Yeah, I've got a good pair of shoes. I've got a good car. I've got good friends. But I don't believe any of that would have come had I quit in the face of the enemy. A lot of people today, it don't take a whole lot to get them to quit. Because they're just not grounded in God. I'm glad I was raised in the old school. I really mean that. I mean, any problem you had, they didn't know anything else, but they knew to get you on the altar and pray, 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 pray. I remember when I was going through it, and we had an old-time friend up in Michigan. Candy remembers him well. Brother Mazingo was his name. And I come into that revival meeting to preach for Brother Mazingo. He's now in heaven. He would remind you, he was Native American, he would remind you of a spiritual cheerleader. Anytime you're preaching, you take Bob Alexander and multiply his anxiety by 100, you've got Brother Mazingo. I mean, he would kick, he would stomp, he'd run. One night I was preaching, he jumped on my back and rode me piggyback, slapping my head saying, "Preacher, boy, preacher, 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 preacher." I'm not kidding you now, he was wild. He was wild. Brother Mazingo, he might have had an 8th grade education, but he had a doctorate in the things of God, birthed in his heart. I came into that revival, and I preached that night. Brother Mazingo got up, and he said, "There's something bad wrong with Brother Evans. He didn't preach a lick tonight." That's what he said. "Let's get him on the altar and pray for him." And boy, they did. They got me on the altar, and what time they weren't praying, they were smacking my cheeks. They were beating me and praying, and I'm thinking, "Lord, give me something or they're going to kill me." They just kept beating and slapping and smacking and slobbering and hollering. And finally got up, and I said, "I feel better." He said, "No, you're not. Get back down there." He did. Brother, he prayed until the glory fell. That old man will never know until I get home to heaven what that did for me. There's many of you in life that you feel, "I don't think I can go on. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know where I'm going to go or what I'm going to do." But I've got news for you. If you pay enough of a cost to get the anointing, you won't give it up so quick. That's why when all those things happen, you can still get in the pulpit and sing the songs and lift your voice in prayer and praise and worship God. That's why that you can look the devil in the eye and go ahead and say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of God." Because you know what you paid to get that. I know that salvation is free, but folks, you're going to go through some things, and it's time someone tells you the devil hates you, he doesn't like what you're doing, he'll do everything he can to try to stop you any way that he can. But I'm here to tell you, one moment in the blessed power of God, walking by faith with the anointing of God flooding our soul and the devil fleeing from our presence, it's worth it all. And yes, it's worth any price you pay to get it. If the anointing of God leaves this church and leaves our preachers and leaves our singers and leaves our leaders, we'll have somebody trying to sell this building to make money. See, you can't say that a soul is worth the whole world and then put the world in front of the soul. It doesn't work that way. If you want the anointing, you have to pay the price. There's a price that you pay. But no matter what it costs, it is worth it. it is worth it. As your heads are bowed for one moment, your eyes are closed, no one is looking on.